If I got every 501c3 preacher under one roof, and I said, you got one way out of this and one way only. And the Lord says, give every asset and all the money you've ever made under that 501c3, give it away because it's blood money. And follow him. That's your only way out, and repent. How many do you think would do it? How many do you think would go, no way God would say that. You're out of your mind, man. They'd stone you, okay, first off. Second off, how many of them would twist and turn scripture to make it fit whatever they want, their lifestyle?
Very special edition of the Sharpener Report. I'm your host, Sam Johnston. We're found on YouTube, iTunes, Blog Talk, and you can find me on Twitter at Sam T. Johnston. Well, the reason that it is so special is because, one, we have a very special guest with us in Mark Taylor, but also we are doing something a little different this time. We actually had the opportunity to reach out to a group, reached out to us called the Prophecies of Mark Taylor Discussion Group. They had a bunch of questions, and so we're taking some time. They submitted them to us, and so we're going to take a read through them and answer them. So I'm really looking forward to that. Before we get started, obviously introduce the man of the hour, Mr. Mark Taylor. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me, Sam. It's an honor to be here, buddy.
It is great to have you. I thought it was kind of odd that so many people wanted me to answer so many questions, but here, I'll give you the questions to read, and I'll do my best to answer it.
You just want to give a shout-out to the Prophecy of Mark Taylor Discussion Group for taking the time to submit the questions. We'll do the best we can to answer. We can't get to all of them, of course, in an hour's time, but we'll do the best we can. And be patient with me because I have no AC and I'm in Florida right now, so I'm sitting here literally sweating right now. So please forgive me if I look a little damp, if you know what I mean.
I don't think that's what they meant by drain the swamp, but hey,
yeah,
we won't go there.
I hear you, man. All right, brother.
All right, so I divide them into certain categories, so it's going to be a little smoother. I think we'll start first with the midterms, and just because it's so prevalent and they're coming up quick. So the first question comes from Clemmy and says, Mark, have you got anything beyond the midterms? So what do you see coming here with the midterms?
Well, the midterms, I believe, is going to be a red tsunami. It's not going to be a red wave. You know, a lot of people have said this is going to be a blue wave. Well, no, it's not. This is going to be more like a blue drip. It's going to be like an annoyance, like a leaky faucet. That's what this is going to be for the Democrats. I think you're going to see I don't think you're going to see another Democrat in the White House for a long, long time, if ever again at this point. I think they're just going to be decimated. I think the what's beyond that also is the corruption. I'm sure somebody's got questions in there about corruption or whatever the case may be. We can get into later, but all this stuff's going to get cleaned out. I mean, Trump's going to be in there for a second term. It's going to be another blowout on that election, because when everything that he's done so far, when all of this stuff, the economy is nowhere, I don't think it's anywhere near what it's going to be. And it's already the best it's been in what, decades. So I just think that, again, that prophecy where God spoke in America, America, where he said all the seeds that America has sown is going to come back sevenfold. We're going to see that. Now, are we going to have some problems along the way? Yes, there's going to be some issues along the way, especially when you make the mass arrests. When these arrests go down, it is not a time to fear. These things must take place. God is cleaning up the corruption. This is not bad news. I mean, we're going to have some civil unrest. They may declare martial law. Matter of fact, I really feel strong that martial law is coming, just so they can go in and round these people up, use the military rounding them up. But the point is that we are not to fear. God's in control. There are protective measures in place. You know, God's protecting us. So these things have to happen. That's what I see coming right after the midterms. When that takes place, the timing of the actual roundup, that I don't know. I know the executive order he signed does not take effect until January, and he probably wants to have his people. The new Congress is not going to take effect until January as well. So he probably wants to have that backup once he rounds these people up as well. So that's pretty much what I see coming after the midterms.
Okay, great. There was a lot of questions that we both got about, like, when are things going to happen? When's this going to happen?
Right.
And I just want to kind of cover those all in one topic because I excluded most of them. We don't really know. Is that basically you don't really know?
Correct. Yeah, correct. I mean, there's a plan in place. We all know it, especially those who follow Q. There's a plan in place, and you know, it's God's timing, and people are getting frustrated. They're getting impatient. And what I keep telling people is like, look, you have to understand something. We're up to 51,700 and change, maybe even more than that now at the time of this airs, sealed indictments. And you could have multiple arrests per indictment. So do the math. I mean, you do not want people like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama walking on a technicality. It takes time to put these cases together. And everybody says, well, Sessions is not doing anything behind the scenes. Well, yeah, we just found out that there's been a grand jury going on for months. I think it was over who? McCabe, I think it was, or somebody. So, I mean, there's things going on behind the scenes that people have to understand. And so we just have to be patient. We do our part. God will do his. And the last thing we want is these people walking on a technicality.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely be patient. All right. So next question about the midterms is from Debbie. She says, when you say there's going to be a shakeup coming in the November elections, are you saying that all the states are going to be in shock, in for a shock, or maybe just some of them? Or will it just be a shakeup with who will win?
I think that's just going to be I think it's just going to be a red tsunami across the board, period. Local, state, federal levels. We've seen the most resignations we've ever seen in probably history as far as the Congress is concerned, Senate and the House. You got people that aren't running again, like Paul Ryan. So you're going to have a massive turnover right now, a massive turnover of governorships at the state level. I think it's just going to be massive, period.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I hope people take that and say, oh, I'm excited. I'm going to go out and be involved, because we definitely have to be involved. You can't just sit down and hope it happens, but be involved for sure.
Good point, brother, because that's another good point, because we cannot sit on our behinds and not get out and vote. You know, we have to have faith. Yes, I understand that, but we also have to do works as well. You know what I mean? We've got to do our part, and that is, if you know someone that's not wanting to vote as a Christian, they need to get out and vote. You know, we need to do our part.
Absolutely. So that kind of wraps up the midterm topic. We had a couple more. Ginger, your question got answered. I didn't actually get to ask it, but it got answered, so that's the point. Anyway, so the next topic is more about the war and the violence that's potentially coming. Someone named Ingram asked, has God spoken to you about World War III?
No. Well, yes and no. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I think we're already in it, period. But this is a different type of world war. This is a shadow war. This is a covert war. It's not open warfare, ground warfare, so to speak. This is dealing with the cabal, the Illuminati, Luciferians, whatever you want to call them. They're all part of the same team, Kingdom of Darkness. This is a shadow war, basically, where this has never been attempted in the history of man. And I think God's going to absolutely just decimate the New World Order. I'm not so sure they're going to be able to recover from this. If they may, but I sense that they may or may not be able to recover from this, you know, if ever again, because I mean, there's just, when they drop the hammer on these guys, and I believe there will be executions, and we both know that John McCain was executed, under military tribunals, and which is another reason why Judge Kavanaugh they're screaming so loud. They're trying to disguise it that it's abortion that they're worried about. That's not what they're worried about. They want a solid 5-4 vote for the military tribunals. Because if you notice the line of questioning for Lindsey Graham the other day, he said, hey, you know, if someone who's a civilian commits treason, does it fall under civil or military? And he said, military. And that put a shockwave. That put the fear of God in every one of them. That's why they're fighting this guy so hard. It's not Roe versus Wade yet that they're worried about. It's the military tribunals, because they know it's going to cost them lives and they're going to be executed.
Wow. Well, you said, this isn't a question, but I'm just curious, you said that McCain was executed. Obviously, there's a story of going around that he had brain cancers. That wasn't it?
Right. I don't think that was it, honestly, because then you had what came out the other day. Who was it? Kasich slipped up on an interview and on CNN and said that, he was basically executed. So it was a slip of the tongue. And it's like, you cannot, and I told someone this the other day, I said, look, when you watch John McCain's funeral and you saw the entire cabal right there in one spot, and they could have rounded them all up right there, man, if they wanted to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Man, these people weren't smiling. I mean, they knew, but John McCain was a prophetic marker in time that we have moved from judgment to justice is now being served, period. And they know it. And they know that if they don't do something to stop this, they're next. So because John McCain was the number three guy, you had Barack Obama being number one, Hillary Clinton being number two, and John McCain being number three. So if they can take down the head of ISIS, John McCain, you know what I mean? The number three guy out of all of this, they know they're next.
Wow.
So that's why they're scared to death. That's why they're screaming.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty incredible. Lisa asked, will our government turn on its people anymore after these tribunals?
Turn on them in the sense of, I don't know what she quite means by that, but if you mean like turn against us, no, they're not going to turn against mm-hmm. us. What we're going to find out, I believe, is that the truth of what they had planned, and what they had planned with the FEMA camps, what they had planned for rounding Christians up or anybody who opposed the government was going to go into these FEMA camps. What you were going to see was another Holocaust, because they know America is the only thing standing between them and getting their new world order in place. So that's what they're scared of of people finding out. They don't want people waking up and finding out this. I mean, even Bush 41 said one day, if the American people truly found out what we were doing, they'd lynch us. Well, see, they already know. So now the truth is being released. So when they start releasing some of this information, it's going to be Katie bar the door, man. And I think what's happening is they're trying, like the Q movement, the patriotic movement, they're trying to wake people up is what they're trying to do. Give them the truth so that they will say enough is enough. We're not going to stand for this, and probably get some marching going on, some protesting going on in Washington, and demand that they arrest these people so that, hey, it's not the government that's doing this. It's the people that demand these people be arrested. But the problem is we got to get more people involved here quickly. You know what I mean? So it's educating people. It's the Great Awakening. It's opening people's eyes and ears.
Great. That's good to hear. So Robert asks, do you know if we should be prepared for something happening that causes us not to be able to go out and do our normal activities? So do we need
Yes, absolutely. Because I do think, now I could be wrong, I'm not prophesying this, I just tell you what I'm sensing. I do think they're going to declare martial law at some point. I think, you know, and even Q has alluded to it. There's been other prophetic people allude that there's martial law coming a long time ago. But they thought it was going to be under Obama, which that was their plan, was declare martial law, round everybody up, and that was it. Put them in FEMA camps that opposed them. But, yes, you do need to be prepared. Even the president came out and said this is National Preparedness Month, and they said get some food, get some money, you know, this kind of thing stocked up. Basically, like kind of like what you would have in a hurricane, basically type of thing. Because if they do declare martial law, if I've not read how martial law works, but I don't know if you're going to be able to travel the streets. And if that's the case, you need to have some stuff in your house for about a month or so.
Mm-hmm. So you view martial law as a good thing then?
I view martial law as a great thing under this administration. Mm-hmm. Under the last one, it was going to be meant. See, and I've been saying this for a long time, is that what everything that the enemy meant for us, in other words, the Obama administration, Hillary Clinton, what they meant to do to us is now being turned back on them. So they were intending on using martial law to round people up and put them in these concentration camps, if you will. And I'm not even going to get started on the pastors that were involved in this, by the way. And I'm fixing to go, and it's been public before. So, but if they want to search that out, it's called the Clergy Response Team under the Homeland Security and FEMA. And the pastors, as of 2014, there were 28,000 pastors nationwide who are part of that. And I'm sure there's a bunch more right now. So, and I'm not even going to get started on that being a traitor, what these guys are. And they can search that out on their own. That's called the Clergy Response Team. But that was their whole plan all along. But under this administration, it's now to round them up. Hmm. See, it's being turned against them now. So, yes, I see martial law as a good thing.
Hmm.
Because also, when you start looking at the civil unrest that's coming, it will also protect the people from that. Because this president's not going to put up with it like past presidents have. Like they've let burn cities down, this, that, and the other. I think it's going to be met with swift just to say it's going to be met swiftly. Let's put it that way. Put a stop to it.
Okay. Well, that makes me a little nervous, but hopefully it turns out well.
It's got to happen, man. But that's no time to be walking in fear, though. That's when we got to put our heads down and say, you know, this has got to happen. Mm-hmm. God's doing it. God's in control. And, you know, we need to have the attitude. It's like, okay, let's bring it on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that's definitely an area of growth that I need to have then. So I'll be praying for that. All right. So we're going to transition into more people focused things. A lot of people had different questions based on different people or even groups of people. So Lisa asks, how do you feel about Mueller, Sessions, and the Trump team or the cabal team? So let's take it one person at a time. How do you feel? Like, what's your view on Mueller?
It's kind of hard to pinpoint what these guys are because there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. It's kind of like President Trump and Sessions. Man, this is the greatest WWE act I've ever seen. You know what I mean? I mean, Sessions is doing stuff behind the scenes. Trust me. If President Trump wanted to fire him a long time ago, he could have fired him. He's the champion of firing people.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? This is a WWE act that's going on, man. I love it whenever these guys are sparring back and forth like this. And, you know, Sessions was not called the silent executioner for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it's to make their enemies at ease where they think that there's issues going on. And then all of a sudden, wham, here comes the hammer. Now, as far as Mueller is concerned, that part I don't know. I'm not sure on. Mm-hmm. Who else was mentioned?
And then she just says the Trump team, probably talking about the corruption or the seems to be a slight divide in the White House.
Yeah, and there's not. And this is where I have to tell people, you know, you're always going to have one or two people that are going to cause trouble in any administration, period. But I mean, for the most part, I think it's a pretty tight knit unit because God said I'm assembling the dream team in these prophecies that God gave me. And so that's what we have to believe in, that God's assembling his dream team. You know, don't listen to the media. If you listen to the media, Satan's frequency, like I've talked about before, they're going to make you think there's division in the White House. There's not. Go to the president's Twitter feed. You know, I don't do a lot on Facebook anymore. You know, Facebook has got me heavily censored right now. And so does Twitter. Twitter's, you know, shadow banning me. So I'm mostly on Twitter now. The only reason I'm on Facebook right now at this point is for that group right now that you know, I try to help them along and support them. You know what I mean? Because they're good people. But I mean, that's all I got on that. Honestly, they're not divided right now, because if you listen to President Trump, he has said, no, we're not divided. That is fake news.
Well, Naya talks about there's no way I got that name right, but they said there's a new spy in the Judicial Department. Have you heard about that?
I heard something about it. I don't have particulars on it. You know, is that the one, I guess he's talking about, one of the newspapers had one, the New York Post or somebody? I can't remember who it was. I don't know anything about it, honestly.
Okay.
You know, if he's there, he'll get rooted out.
Mm-hmm.
God will expose him. He'll get rooted out.
Okay. Good. So. Very good. Myra asks, will God ever get rid of the Muslim immigration and corruption in America?
Yeah, I think it's going to be it's not just the Muslims. I think it's going to be all across the board, you know, whether it's the illegals, period. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, he's got to get his help in there through Congress. He's got to get rid of these guys that have been there for 30. Look, anybody that's been here for 30, 40 years, that's a red flag already. You need to follow the money trail, because the first off, how do you start winning places like they've been and staying in there for 30, 40 years? It's because you've been bought and paid for. Somebody's bought and paid for you, so therefore they're rigging the elections. The Lord already told me a long time ago, Obama did not win these elections, especially the second one. It was stolen, period. And so when you start looking back, because the Lord told me, he says, Mark, he said, there's not as many blue zones and blue states as you think there are. They've been stealing these elections for decades. So when I was this close from prophesying that California was going to go red for the first time under Trump. Now I'm not so sure that it didn't. And that was probably my fault. I probably should have prophesied it, you know, maybe to come to pass.
Yeah.
But the point is, I think you're going to see it go red at this point. But that's why California's been under such intense attack. They know that once they lose California, they're finished, period. It won't go. It will never go back. But they're stealing these elections. And so the voter fraud is first and foremost. And I tell people, you know, if we can vote with a paper ballot, you know, because you don't know who, you know, Soros owns most of the hardware. They're very easy to hack and tamper with. So, I mean, you know, but they have said and alluded to that basically that they have control of the elections now at this point. So I'm hoping and praying that we do.
Yeah, well, you mentioned George Soros. Bonnie asked if you have any specific thoughts on George Soros. Obviously, the time is up for the corrupt, but have you heard any specific thing in his with him?
Not any specific thing, but I can almost guarantee you he's going to be one of the ones rounded up. It's up. There is no place on this earth that some of these people are going to be able to hide.
Mm-hmm.
You've got America after that guy. You're going to have Russia's been after that guy. They've already warned him, don't come back on Russian soil. We're going to arrest you, period. Mm-hmm. And Putin does not like the new world order.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, that's the other thing that people have to understand. I think Russia, I think Trump and Putin are working together to take down the new world order. You know, Putin's not going to be told what to do. He's not going to take orders from the New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got two superpowers there that are taking on the cabal worldwide, globally. So, yeah, I think Soros is going to go down. Absolutely. I think they're going to freeze his assets. They're going to take it all. And they're going to start rounding these people up globally.
Jill brings up an interesting point. She says, why hasn't our Heavenly Father done anything about George Soros yet? Why hasn't he stripped him of his finances or done worse? It seems like we could have avoided a lot of heartache.
That's a tough question to answer. Why haven't we done that with all of them? You know what I mean? Why is the Rothschilds out there? Why has the Rockefellers been in control? I can tell you this much. It's simply because I think it boils down to one thing, is that God put us here to do our part, and we haven't been doing it, and especially the church. And I know this is going to get controversial, so I'll try to refrain a little bit here.
No, go for it.
The church is the moral and spiritual compass of any nation. If you want to know why this country is in the shape that it's in, is because the church has not done their job, period. And when you look globally, you're finding out the same thing. You know, the church is under judgment right now, period. You're going to see churches close. You're going to see them collapse. You're going to see a walkaway movement. I prophesied all roads lead to Rome. You know, back in January, I released that, talking about the Pope. Pope's not been having a good time right now, man. I mean, look what's been going on with him and exposures of what's going on with this guy. And now they just subpoenaed an entire state full of cardinals or something like that for sex stuff. So, I mean, this stuff is – and this is – and everybody wants to pick on the Catholics. And I'm not saying that the Catholic hierarchy is not bad, because it is. But you're fixing to find out some big-name people that are involved in some big stuff, even in other denominations, that God's going to expose and take down. So people need to be prepared, because there's going to be people that all roads lead to Rome thought that was just for the Catholics. We need to be ready to receive the Catholics. But if you read deeper in there, again, these are mysteries, it says it will affect all religions.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's going to be a ton of hurt people, there's going to be people that are going to feel betrayed. And we need to be ready as the army of God, the remnant, to be able to help these people. So we need to be prepared and figure out how we're going to do this.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that I kind of thought about when I asked the Muslim-related question, is because a lot of people just view Muslims as the enemy, just because there are a lot of cultural things clash and things like that, and there's definitely a lot of controversy, but there are people, and they are lost, and they do need Jesus, so we want to be able to reach out to them and grab them and show them the love of Christ.
Right. You know, well, I think there's, and again, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's like any religion. I think you've got, a middle ground of that religion where you've got some really nice people in that Muslim religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the fanatics, man, which, I mean, are just, you know, in every religion, you're going to have fanatics. It doesn't matter who it is,
yeah.
you know, the extremists, so to speak. And some of these people, it's not that we don't pray for them. You know, God tells us to pray for everybody. It doesn't matter how evil they are. We still pray for them. You know, God is the judge, and he will determine how whatever justice comes to him. But we pray for him, but we're not going to be able to save everybody. That's just a fact. And but it's still, we do our part, and we just keep moving and let God do his.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of praying for the enemy, our last interview, we kind of joked about how it was going to be on Right Wing Watch. It was definitely up there. And so that guy got our prayer. And so we're going to do our usual and say, we're going to pray for you again, Mr. Right Wing Watch, because that's what we're going to do. So I hope that you have a great life. Anyway, so moving on, you mentioned the Catholic Church, which Chad wants to know about. He said, how close do you think things are to all of the things are to being revealed about the Catholic Church, the Vatican, and the Pope, and all involved in the secular idealism that is corrupting their Catholic faith over millennium?
You know, every day you turn on the news, there's something coming out on the Catholic Church right now. I mean, literally, either on the Pope, like they just subpoenaed. By the time this airs, this is going to be old news, you know,
yeah.
Because everything is moving at warp speed. If you'll notice, everything's accelerating at warp speed right now. So every day you turn on the news, there's another bishop or another cardinal going down. You know what I mean? So everything is, and I'm getting the emails, I'm getting the messages of people that are almost using verbatim what was in that prophecy. That they will be disgusted or whatever it was, and they will walk away. And there's people in there saying they're disgusted. I don't know where to go. I'm not going back to the Catholic Church. Or, you know, some people have said that about other denominations. You know what I mean? So you're having this huge, I don't know what you want to call it, mass exodus from the church, if you will. It's all churches. It's not just the Catholic Church. You know, when I had prophesied before Donald Trump got elected, one of the prophecies I prophesied that there would be a sign given. That when Donald Trump was elected, the earth would quake as to who I've selected, is what the Lord said. And 4 days after he was elected, it was Christ Church New Zealand. Now, interestingly enough, the last time Christ Church New Zealand was decimated in an earthquake was right after the Trump prophecy was actually written.
Hmm.
And so I don't think, I mean, was that coincidence? I don't know. So, but it decimated again. And I think that was prophetic that there's a quaking and a shaking coming to Christ's church. Now, they were waiting on two tsunamis. One wave had already come in, which I believe that's what the wave you're seeing now, which is a mass exodus from the church, is what that first wave represents. The second one will be a financial collapse, where, because when the people leave, they're not going to have the finances to live like rock stars anymore.
All right.
And so, you know what I mean? So there's a lot to this. So, I mean, it's already happening. It's already ongoing, but things are accelerating. As a time frame, as when it actually collapses, that I don't know. Again, that's one of those things, it's God's timing.
Yeah, and that even goes more to what we were just speaking about being available for open arms for when these people come, because the collapse of the corrupt modern church is going to be very, very good, but if these people don't have anywhere to go, then the enemy is going to come in and swoop them up, and they're going to get, and you see it now with the rise of people involved with postmodernism, the New Age movement, and things like that, so we really have to be prepared for that.
Good point, brother. Good point. I mean, we have to be, as the army of God, we got to figure out what we're going to do, because I think what you're going to see happen is these churches are going to collapse, especially under the 501c3 and the unincorporated churches, which I'm not going to go into that right now either. But I mean, again, I think you're going to see a movement towards the home churches, which is what originally I believe it was designed to do. And that's where you're going to see the power and authority as people come out of the 501c3, divorce Baal, because that's a Baal system, unincorporate, because it was never intended for a church to be a corporation. We don't have pastors in the pulpit right now. We got CEOs, and that's the problem. Everybody thinks of this as a big business. That's why Jesus drove them out of the temple with a whip, the money changers. He said, my house will be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. So, I mean, there's a reason why the Lord said, you know, that basically was saying, you turn this into a business, that ain't happening. This is not the way it was designed to be.
Yeah.
So, you can't have accountability with 20 and 30,000 people. You can't have intimacy with 20 and 30,000 people. I mean, you get a home group of 8 or 10 people that's not incorporated because you're not answering to the state. Jesus Christ is your head of your ministry now, because when you incorporate, you cut the head off the Lord. You're no longer a part of the body, basically, because you're answering to the state. And they wonder why they have no power and authority. And then you pile on the 501c3 on top of it, which you're in the Baal system. Now you're answering to the federal government. So they've got a slavery mentality, basically, where they, you know, God's called us to rule and reign. Well, how can you govern when you're being governed over with two layers, by the state and by the federal government? You can't. And then they wonder why the church is a mess. The Bible talks about cursed is he who takes a bribe for the slaying of the innocent. Well, they took that money, that 501c3 money, again, search a matter out, to keep their mouth shut, especially on the big one with Roe versus Wade. So when you really dig in and think about it, that is blood money. Everything these churches have ever made under the 501c3, all their assets, all the money, that's blood money. Because they would not stand up. They took the 30 pieces of silver to be quiet, and prayer was taken out of schools. They were silenced. And then Roe versus Wade, they were silent because they wanted the money.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the 501c3, because a lot of questions were based on that. People trying to figure out how to best navigate that. Like people like Christopher, he said he's really passionate about it, and I'm really passionate about it too. And this is a question that I even had is there's so many people in the church that that are truly good people, like we talked about, that are caught in there. So should we try to be involved with those churches and get involved with those churches to try to reach the people, or should we just avoid them at all costs?
No, I wouldn't avoid them, because right now God's trying to do a rescue mission. All right. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is all about. Because we, like you said, we have good people who are caught in this system that have no knowledge of the system whatsoever. And the Lord told me, he said, many have come before you with this 501c3 message. He said, you're the last before my judgment falls. And see, I can't walk into a 501c3 church. He already told me. He said, you will become defiled, and so will your words. Because, again, they're under a curse. This is why they can't see a lot of times that they're under a curse, or they can't see what the 501c3 is doing. Or when you talk to someone, they're like, that's a bunch of garbage. You know what I mean? You know, the Bible says, he who takes a bribe, it blinds the eyes of the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. That's why they're blinded. The church took a bribe under the 501c3. That's why they can't see it. That's why they're drunk off of her adulteries. You know what I mean? And that's why when you tell them the truth, sometimes they will mock the truth, is because they want to enjoy her adulteries. They want to enjoy her benefits, basically. You know, me and Melissa have talked at length about some of this stuff. You know, my head intercessor, she's been on your show before. This is what's going on in the church right now. This is why the church is acting. You'll see these leaders just acting nuts. It's like, why did this guy do that? You know, what is this guy, nuts or something? That's because they're drunk. They're intoxicated, literally, because they've been in covenant with the whore of Babylon basically for so long. They're intoxicated. They can't, a drunk can't see straight. They can't walk straight. So, I mean, this is what's going on.
Yeah, it sounds, and I think a good way to look at it, correct me if I'm wrong, obviously, because this is your spotlight, but it seems like you should try to go to these churches as a ministry to try to reach these people and start to be like, hey, why don't you come over from my house? We'll get some food and have a Bible study and start, and then kind of transition these people into the home church setting. So once things fall apart, then they'll be able to transition much easier. And you still get that Christian community with people.
Absolutely. You know, and whatever God shows you to do, whatever strategy and tactics God shows you, you answer to God. You don't answer to me.
Yeah.
You don't answer to Sam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You answer to what the Lord's telling you to do, what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. Now, I do have some people that are putting together a conference. They're trying to get in at Rodney Howard Brown's church. And I heard that the gentleman from the Biblical Law Center that I've talked to before on the phone, if people want to research this out, go to biblicallawcenter.com. You can see all kinds of information. On the 501c3, I think you can go to hushmoney.org, it is. And that'll give you a good starting point on what it's all about. There's tons of information there, but the Biblical Law Center is there to literally help you get out of the 501c3. And I asked the gentleman one day, I said, why won't they come out of it? He says, they can't. He says, this is how you know you've made a deal with the devil. This is how you know it's demonic right here. He says, they can't, Mark. He said, because they will lose everything. Because that's one of the stipulations. Then there's ways around it, I think, now, but at one point, you could not get out of the 501c3 because you would lose everything under that 501c3, all your assets, everything. And see, and here's the other thing, too. If I got every 501c3 preacher under one roof, and I said, you got one way out of this and one way only, and the Lord says, give every asset and all the money you've ever made under that 501c3, give it away because it's blood money, and follow him. That's your only way out, and repent. How many do you think would do it? How many do you think would go, no way God would say that? You're out of your mind, man. They'd stone you, okay, first off. Second off, how many of them would twist and turn Scripture to make it fit whatever they want, their lifestyle? How many would actually come out of that? How many, because it's just like the rich young ruler, whatever it was, when Jesus said, give all your possessions away, sell it. Why? Because money had him. You know, the 501c3 is the Nicolaitan system, which Jesus said he hated. What was the Nicolaitan system? The Nicolaitan system was they compromised with the world's systems. See, I am of the belief that when Jesus went up on the mountain and was tempted by Satan and he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, I think those were the systems, because the systems is what brings it all in. That's where all the money's at. And see, the other thing is that this, we're in the end time transfer of wealth. God is taking it. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. So if he's going to take money from the wicked and give it to the righteous, how can he take it from a ungodly wicked system, the 501c3, and give it to the righteous who are still in the 501c3? He can't. You see what I'm saying? So it's going to get transferred to people who are not in that. Now, I'm not using that as a manipulative thing, saying you need to come out, you're not getting any money. No, that's not what I'm saying here. I'm not trying to use manipulation here. I'm just telling you, God cannot take from a wicked system and give to another wicked system. You know what I mean? He's a righteous, holy God, if you understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so much. We could do a whole show just on this alone.
Yeah, I bet we could. So. And Jamie brings up a good point, too, is she talks about, you know, trying to deal with family issues with this. So I hope we answered their question on that. But she also brings up the idea of tithing, and we kind of just touched on it at the end there. What do people do with tithing? Because they want to be faithful to God.
Right.
And obviously, other than donating to your favorite alternative media, just kidding. What do they do with the tithing?
You know, everybody asks, I get bombarded with those questions. And here's going to be the thing, too, guys. We're in a time of transition right now, because when God is going to, I believe, crash that system, so to speak, or get, you know, deal with that system, people are not going to want anything to do with it, period. When they walk away, the reputation of the church when all this stuff comes out on all denominations, excuse me, what they've been into, child trafficking, sex trafficking, molesting kids. This is going on in all denominations, so don't be fooled, okay? So when all this comes out, the reputation of the church is going to be absolutely decimated. The Christians aren't going to want anything to do with it, and certainly the sinners aren't going to want anything to do with it. So I believe what's going to happen is it's going to force people now to go out and truly spread the gospel, whether it's in your home church, meeting together as a home church. But if you ever notice when someone goes out and say, well, we're going to spread the gospel all over the world. We spread the gospel. And they go from church to church to church to church doing it. How is that spreading the gospel? It's not the saved that need to be saved again. It's you need to be going from street corner to street corner to street corner. That's spreading the gospel. That's the way it was meant to be. Jesus sent them out in twos. You know what I mean? Go spread the gospel. Cast out demons in my name. This, that, and the other. So when it comes to the tithe, I think what's going to happen again in this transition is going to force people into this New Testament church. So you will be able to tithe to your home group. You can tithe to someone who's not a 501c3 as far as a church is concerned. And let me make a stipulation here. A 501c3 TV ministry is a little bit different than a church. You know, Jesus was dealing with the houses of prayer. A television ministry is required by the IRS to be on a 501c3, or they can't be on television. That's a government requirement. Now, I know of one, I'm not going to say who it is. Somehow they've gotten around it, and I got to figure that out where I can pass that on to some of these television ministries. But what you have to understand, under the Constitution, the church has already been exempt, period. So what the 501c3 was designed to do was to give them an extra added benefit of a tax exempt to keep their mouth shut. And that's where the church fell for the trap. So if you tithe, you're going to be tithing to your home group at that point or someone who you feel led by the Holy Spirit. It may be a television ministry right now at this point. God, I don't think, is dealing with the television ministries yet. I think he will at some point because, again, it's a requirement. If I was sitting before President Trump, I would say those who want to come out of the 501c3, let them come out with zero penalties. Those who want to stay, let them stay. And do the same thing with the TV ministries. At that point, they have a choice to make. But right now, the TV ministries don't have a choice, pretty much. It's mandatory, so I want to make that clear. But as far as giving your tithe and offerings, ask the Lord. Pray with the Lord. Ask him where you need to put it. And here's the other thing. Is everybody thinks that tithes and offerings has got to be money. This is what we've been indoctrinated into thinking. And so it's all about money, 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 money. I would love one time to take a set of tires, a brand new set of tires, and roll them down the aisle of a mega church and say, all the way down to the front, say, here's my tithe. What do you think these guys would do? They wouldn't let me in the door with them, number one. But number two, they'd look at me like, what are you, nuts? I can't pay my house bill with that, my 18,000 square foot home. I can't make my house payment. You don't understand. They bought their first fruits in. It's more than just money, but we've made it as a culture. We've made it into money. But what they don't understand is, well, the Lord just told me that there's an 80-year-old woman in this congregation that doesn't have the money to pay for a set of new tires for a car. Right here they are. Here's an $800 set of tires. That's my tithe. So that's my point to all this. So it doesn't have to be, I don't believe it has to be just money. It can be, I think Melissa did a study on when you bring your tithes into the storehouse. Storehouse actually means barn. So it could be clothes. It could be food. Whatever the case may be. So each little home group would have their own barn or storehouse. Somebody in the congregation. See, when the Ananias and Sapphira were bringing their, it said that they all sold lands, they sold houses, and brought everything into one place, and they distributed it where no one was without lack. Well, you don't see that going on today. What you see is a pyramid scheme of sorts. Because everybody in the church, the congregation, they're broke, they're sick, they're in debt, but the upper echelon's living like rock stars. That's not the way it was meant. You see what I'm saying? I think you just need to pray about it. Ask the Lord where you need to send your money, because I know that's a hot topic. Because again, in this time of transition that we're having, I think it's just you could tithe if it's money. That's fine. Tithe it to your home group if you don't have one. Ask the Lord in this time of transition what you need to do with it.
Yeah, and how much more personal and loving does an actual gift of an actual thing that you need mean? It's like when someone, it's like your birthday, exactly. And someone gives you money for your birthday, like, oh, thanks, that took a lot of thought. Or someone gives you that perfect gift that you just need at that moment. It's like, what's more powerful? What's more loving? It's like, that's really what it's all about.
Well, Yeah, and it's like if you got a little old lady sitting next door, a senior citizen, and you see that she doesn't have tires for her car. I'll just keep on the same example here. I mean, you go out there, write down the tire of the car, go buy her a set of tires. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be. Have them put on for her. That could be your tithe for the month. It's whatever God shows you that you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even on top of that, to brag on my dad a little bit, he owns his own carpentry business. And something that he does with his business is he ties that gift that God has given him in being a carpenter to go out and do things for people who are just down on their luck for, you know, like way cheaper and way more affordable for them just so they he can help them out. I mean, that's creating new things, that's tithing, and that's just being a great witness to God for someone who's not even a believer to be able to go out and do that and say, oh yeah, God told me to do this, and then not want anything back. That's what we're talking about. Absolutely.
That's what we're talking about right there, because under the 501c3, everybody says, oh, you know, you got to give. It'll be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, rolling. I mean, come on. How many times have we heard it? And it's like, you don't understand. You're sowing into the wrong system, and it's a type of deception, if you will. Because what you're saying is that they're going to give, and these little old ladies or these people who are broke and sick are believing for a miracle. They're giving and giving and giving. Folks, you're giving into the bail system. That's why you're not seeing anything in return. Mm-hmm. Now, you're not giving to get something back. Yes, I understand the law of sowing and reaping. I get that. But the point is that when you give, it's out of a pure heart.
Mm-hmm.
It's not I'm going to get my tax return at the end of the year. Where's that biblical? Nowhere does it say in my tithe I'm going to get a tax return. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, okay, next question.
All right, yeah, we're getting caught up. That was a good word, though. That was good stuff right there. All right, so we're still in the churches, the home church a little bit. Just, do you have any advice? This comes from M. Do you have any advice on how to start a home church? Like, what are some just initial steps for people?
You know, there are some groups out there that will help you start a home church, give you ideas how to do it. I don't have particulars on that. I know it doesn't cost you a dime, because the last thing you want to do not incorporate, please. That is because I'm going to come out with all that next. Mm-hmm. All right. The word incorporated means a fictitious entity. Do you understand what that means in the spirit? You're calling yourself a fictitious entity when you corporate. Oh, God. It's like, oh my gosh, people. This is not that hard. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is what you're wondering why nothing's happening right now, man. This is why, you know what I mean? But it doesn't cost you anything. But also, I believe when people start a home group, Sam, is that you will see the power and authority return to the people like that, like we've never seen in the history of man, because they're not incorporated. They're not a 501c3. The head of the Lord, you know, where scripture talks about the foxes have dens and the Lord has no place to rest his head. He will now have a place to rest his head now, because he's not coming. I don't think he's coming back for a church, brother. He's coming back for a pure, spotless bride who's not caught up in the worldly Nicolaitan systems, period, the Babylonian systems. And as a home group, you're not caught up in that.
Yeah.
You're free. You know what I mean? The Holy Spirit's free to do whatever you want. It doesn't cost a dime to start it. Just get together. Start with two or three people. Start with five or six people. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. Start a storehouse. You know, we wonder why the homeless aren't getting fed or this, that, and the other. Well, start a storehouse. Everybody's bringing tithes. Hey, we're going to go feed the homeless this week. Find somebody laying on the street that's got no clothes. Here, I got shirts right here, brother. Shoes right here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So this is what we got to get back to, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, we've gotten complacent because under a church, if you do a word study, church does not, and under the New Testament writings, the original writings, there's nowhere does it say the word church. It's congregation. So congregation refers to the people. So when they were writing to the church of Ephesus or church of Philadelphia, it was the congregation of Philadelphia, the congregation of Ephesus. The word church means building. And what God's going to do is the problem is they're caught up in one geographical location. This is why the gospel is not being spread. Every Sunday they're in one geographical location. I've said this 100 times. If you had a mega church of 30,000 and dumped them on the street on a Sunday morning to go out and pray for people, deliverance, this, that, and the other, and got the job done, that's an invasion force. Literally, that is an invasion force. You could take an entire city overnight like that.
Absolutely. I think people overthink it too much. They go, oh, a big home church, got to make a plan and do this. It's like, no, just get together, have some food, and talk about the word.
Let the Holy Spirit lead, man. Come on. You know what I mean? Just get together and do it. But that's why the government doesn't want you having a home church or homeschooling your kids, because they can't control you. It's all about control. They can't indoctrinate you, which is what the church system has been ingrained to do. Mm-hmm. Next question.
Absolutely. All right. So we're transitioning off the church topic a little bit. That was real good. So anyway, Donna and Cher, we're going to go back a little bit because you mentioned Q a little bit, and it's not something that we've talked about a lot, but they basically want to know what your take on Q is and how you know we can trust him.
I trust Q, and the reason I trust Q is because I know the president's involved. There's been too many signs. There's been too many things that he has said that has come to pass almost within 24, 48 hours. But the big reason I trust Q is because right here in this book right here are all the prophecies that God has given me. And in those prophecies, it's almost like Q is following the prophecies. Everything that Q says is lining up with the prophecies that God has given me. If you go back and I tell people, print these prophecies out. They're not mine or God's, but print them out. And it's like a blueprint from start to finish. You'll see where God is starting and where he's going with this whole thing right now. And if you'll notice, everything that Q is doing is lining up with the prophecies. That's how I know I can trust him.
Interesting. Yeah, definitely do that. That's really good. So now we're going to transition to some more Trump-focused questions. Dee asks, is President Trump and his family safe? Will they be able to keep safe through all of this? Will all those powerful people, politicians and traitors, and the people with the alphabet agencies be rendered powerless?
Yes, he will be kept safe. Not one hair on his or his family's head will be harmed. He is the most protected president in history. I have talked to some people like Greg Hunter. He's got good inside intel. He's got the Pentagon on his side. He's protected by Secret Service. He's protected by his own private security. He is also protected by the military. So, I mean, so he has got like three rings of protection, and he's got the ultimate protection. God's on his side. God's hand is upon him, and he's doing God's work. This is not Donald Trump's agenda. That's what people have to understand. This is heaven's agenda. God is simply using Donald Trump to implement the agenda on the earth. And I hate to say this, but he's actually implementing an agenda that the church should have been doing.
Yeah.
We could learn a lot of lessons from the president, because when the president started this movement, this patriotic movement, which, by the way, is it a patriotic movement or is it the spirit of Elijah? But when he started this patriotic movement, was he sitting behind his desk getting it done? No. He was going out. What was he doing? He was going out. He was getting the people. So that's what God is trying to say to his people right now. The church is stuck in one geographical location. He says, I need my people moving. I need them fluid. The church is supposed to be fluid, constantly moving, spreading the gospel. You can't spread the gospel sitting here like this every Sunday morning. You know what I mean? It's not happening. So, I mean, you've got to be fluid. You've got to be moving. And that's what Donald Trump did. That's what he's doing now. Look at the rallies he's having. He's rallying support, man. He's rallying the people. We need to be fluid. Need to be moving.
Mm-hmm. What about, similar question, but what do you think about like Mike Pence? Is he someone that we can trust? Is he safe and things like that?
You know, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I want to say yes, but I'm not 100% on that. God has not shown me anything specific on Vice President Pence. You know, until, you know, otherwise, then I've got to try and trust him. I got to pray for him. You know what I mean? I'm not saying not to trust him. I'm just saying God has not shown me anything on Vice President Pence. We'll see. You know, time will tell. You know, he's kind of been in the background a little bit, you know, like most vice presidents are, you know what I mean? I think if he had a little bit more upfront stuff where we could see a little more of him, you know what I mean? Maybe more people could discern as far as that is concerned, but God has not shown me anything really specific on the vice president.
Okay, good to know. So Polish Child asks, when do you think the press will either collapse or change their belief on Trump? So as two questions, do you think if they're going to, the mainstream media will collapse, or do you think that they'll just change their narrative? And then when do you think that's going to happen? Obviously, we don't really know the timing.
Right. I think they're going to get gutted, quite frankly, just like Hollywood. I think there's going to be indictments, and when they round these people up, it's going to affect the mainstream media to a point. The president, this is why it's important, you know, listen to the president, okay? Because they were just testing the presidential or the emergency system on the cell phones, and they were testing it yesterday all over the country, so that they can bypass the media whenever this stuff starts, and they can go straight to the people, and he can give them the truth. So, you know, they're not to be trusted right now, but I think they're going to get gutted. You may see one or two of these media outlets collapse, maybe even more. I don't know. You know, the prophetic word that God gave us that said that, you know, where's my millionaires and billionaires? Why aren't they buying out these news organizations? One did out there in Los Angeles. A billionaire bought one out, I think, out there of all places, out in California a while back. So, I mean, yeah, they're going to get gutted. You know, at some point they'll get gutted, and they're not going to be able to hide what has happened, so to speak.
Yeah.
And at some point they're going to have to end up agreeing with him, telling the truth. Journalism, hopefully God's going to, I think God's going to restore true journalism. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that'd be great. I hope so. And then there was that meeting. Paula asked, there was this meeting with all of those religious leaders or Christian pastors meeting with Trump to pray over him. Do you think that, that their prayers were negated if they participated in a 501c3?
You know, I don't know if they were negated, let's say, but there is a veil over the spiritual advisory board if they are a 501c3. Now, I don't know that all of them are. I don't know who all's on that. I know some, but I don't know all. I do know he put the warning out to the spiritual advisory board the other day. I think Lance Wallnau had shared some of that stuff. But people have to understand that you need to read deeper into that warning. Because the president said, you know, I have done a lot for you. What's that saying? In other words, get off your behind and get on the front lines. You're not doing your job. I have given you your voice back. Open your mouth is what he was telling them. We have an apathetic and pathetic church sometimes. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. That's strong words. But these leaders, I mean, he didn't do away with the 501c3. He simply gave them their voice back. And they're still not doing their job. And that's basically what he was saying. That's the way I read it. It's like, you need to get off your behind and get on the front line. Look at what I've done for you. I'm restoring your liberties. I'm restoring your rights. And you guys aren't cutting it. So, but they didn't take it that way. From what I heard, from what I heard on Lance speaking on, it was almost like they didn't take it that way. They still weren't getting it. And again, it's because there's a veil. This is why they you know what I mean? That's part of this judgment. Those who are on the 501c3. And I'm sure there's someone that had talked about it and picked up on it. But, I mean, for the most part, most of them, I don't think we're getting it.
Yeah.
I really don't.
So we're going to transition to a couple miscellaneous topics. They're just kind of all over the place. So I grouped them together. Anyway, Barbara is fed up with chemtrails, and she's just had enough with them. And she wants to know if God has given you any insight onto when and if we'll ever get rid of them and have clean air.
Yes, I think at some point, again, they got to do the roundup, guys, because they – you have to understand how big this is, man. I mean, this is huge. It has penetrated every aspect of life. You know, it's like the California fires, for instance. You know, me being a retired firefighter, California's got some of the most experienced brush firefighters in America, period. And these guys, you know, they were purposely setting these fires, the deep state was. And these firefighters were saying, they're exploding. We cannot control these fires. And when these guys tell you that, you know the serious issues, and I can tell you exactly why. Is because they're no longer fighting a Class A fire, which is wood paper products, which is what a brush fire is. They're fighting a Class D Delta fire. That's metals. It's because of the chemtrails. To answer her question, the chemtrails, aluminum oxide, is being sprayed, and the vegetation is saturated with aluminum particles. Aluminum burns at 1,200 degrees. This is why they can't control the fires. This is why the fires now all over the United States are so intense, because everything's coated with that aluminum oxide. So, yes, will there come a point when they get rid of it? Absolutely. I think some of it has slowed down already. I'm not seeing – there was a time I was seeing all kinds of chemtrails, man. I looked out here, it looked like a checkerboard grid going across. And now I'm seeing a few every now and then. I'm not seeing as many as I have, so – I don't know where they're at in that process. When do they actually take it all down? That part I do not know. Mm-hmm. But it will eventually all come down.
So A asks, what is the biggest impact that we can make? Is it prayer? If so, can we come up with a prayer or Bible verses that we can all pray together and concentrate on? There's so much that it's hard to know what we should focus on and where to look. And so what should we be focused on and how should we pray?
Okay, so prayer is when you're addressing God. Warfare is when you're addressing the enemy. So, you know, first is target-focused repentance, which disarms the enemy, like we talked about on your show before, previous shows. That takes a legal right away. We go into prayer, then you go into warfare, because it makes your warfare that much easier. The first thing you do is get off the enemy's radar and scramble his frequencies. But what I would recommend for everyone is that if you're not a part of the Strike Force of Prayer, or rocking the West Coast prayer group, which is my head intercessor, Melissa Leggett, I would get involved in that. Because the reason I say that is this, is that Michael Ortega on the Strike Force of Prayer, he has a national prayer call. They're almost praying, I think, 5 days a week at this point. But what he has done now is he's put together spec ops groups on the ground in each state. And we're looking for more states. I don't care if it's five or six people on the phone call. I don't care. We don't care. We just need someone in that state with boots on the ground who has a legal right to repent on behalf of that state. Because here's what you have to understand. Is like we talked about on your show before, is that God's going to bring this stuff down on a national level. It's going to drop to a state level at that point. So states that aren't going to come into alignment are going to, if they're not careful, going to fall under judgment. So that's why it's important for we have all 50 states represented. And so we've got, I don't know how many Michael's got now, 9, 10, or 11 states already represented. So we want to get all of them. So that's how you can get involved. And Michael's got criteria there. He's got prayers there to get you started. But you want to research what's happened in your state, like we've talked about before, and go after that repentance-wise. Repent on behalf of the people, repent on behalf of the land, and pray for your particular state is what you're going to do. So that's what I would recommend everybody do. Because Michael's got a great program going right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that will help people get started right there.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
That's strikeforceofprayer.com, and then Melissa's is Rocking the West Coast Prayer Group.
All right, yeah, people, definitely get involved with those. We mention those every time that Mark is on, so yep. Definitely be involved with those. Colleen asks, I had hoped that when Trump got elected, people would start working together and be more unified. Will this ever happen? Will our nation ever start to settle down and come together?
Yes, they are unified. They're just putting on a show, guys. That's what our point was with him and Sessions. This is the best WWE show, man, I've seen.
Yeah.
I can't wait till Sessions drops the hammer, because this is going to make a lot of people look nuts. You know what I mean? He's like,
yeah.
I thought you guys were fighting, man. No,
yeah.
Brother. This is the silent executioner in action now. So I can't wait till he gets turned loose.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, this is to put their enemies at ease. That's what this is about.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that... because we see such a huge divide, especially between, like, could put paint the line between liberals and conservatives, if you wish.
Right.
There's such a huge divide, it seems like, culturally. Do you think we'll see a move to make things more unified?
Yeah, I think you will. Again, we've got to root out the evil leadership that's trying to stop that. Because, like, right now, I'm being shadow banned and censored on Twitter or something fierce.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to share the movie the other day, and the tweet above it and the tweet below it have got double and triple the shares and likes and everything else, but the movie's not getting hardly, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But Facebook, I'm not messing with anymore because I'm not getting anything. I think they've got me heavily banned or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I think once this is all dealt with, and you're going to see people come together on new platforms, I believe, if they don't straighten out Twitter or Facebook, you know, they're going to start new platforms. I believe we're coming online probably. You're going to see believers come together in unity at some point. And again, this is all about going out and spreading the gospel. Now, here's another important point real quick on that. Paul Keith Davis, about 12 years ago, made a statement, and I never forgot this, and I honestly believe this is true with all my heart, is that this generation is not going to be able to be talked into the kingdom. They're going to have to be shown through signs, wonders, and miracles. And in order to do that, you got to get out of the church. You got to get out of the building, in other words. You know what I mean? You can't sit in the church pews and get it done that way under a satanic system.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you're forced out into the home churches, that's when the power and authority will return. People aren't going to have to speak the gospel hardly. They're just going to show them, hey, brother, God's telling me you're sick. Come here. Can I pray for you? Yeah. All of a sudden, he heals them right there on the spot. Boom, done. This guy's a believer now all of a sudden. Wow, mm-hmm. Man, how did that happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're going to have to be shown.
Yeah, definitely. And as we're running out of time, last but not least, Cindy asks, and I ask, and I think more people should ask, how can we support you in this? Because obviously on the front lines, you're facing battles every day, and you need support. So what can we do to support you?
Just keep me in prayer, me and my family. We've got a lot of other guy, people on the front lines. That I'm not going to name their situations, what's going on, but if I said their names, they would know them.
Mm-hmm.
They're going through well, I mean, they're just going through it. Okay. You know, with family crises and stuff like that. Just keep us in prayer because, you know, everybody's on the front lines. Okay. I want everybody to understand that. I don't care who you are. Everybody's on the front line. It's just people are in different positions on the front line, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And just some of us who are like myself and you and those, Greg Hunter and Sheila Zielinski, who are out here in the public's eye, so to speak, you know, we tend to take some of the bigger hits, if you know what I mean. Not to say that I don't want to take away from anybody else that's back here that's got health issues and stuff going on. But as far as the public attacks, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, on the social media and stuff like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just pray for us, man. Just keep us in prayer.
Absolutely. And that hits us at almost exactly the 1 hour mark. And that just proves that I'm the greatest host ever because I nailed it down with all those questions. No, I'm just kidding, obviously. I'm just kidding. Anyway, that rounds up all of our questions. So thank you for everyone who asked questions. I really appreciate it. And Mark, thank you so much for answering them.
Well, brother, thank you for having me on. And I also want to thank you for doing this for the group. You know, I think the group appreciates you. They love your interviews. And you guys make sure you support Sam because he went way out of his way to do this. He went above and beyond the call of duty on this one. So thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
No problem. It is just doing the Lord's will. And that's what we're all called to do, to glorify God with the gifts that he's given us. And every person has gifts. Every person can change their own local area, can go into churches and reach those people. You can go into mosques and reach those people. You can go into the public schools and reach those people and start pulling them back and talk about scripture and go out and preach the word, because that's how we're going to change it. That's the end. Trump is going to do a lot of things. The people in power are going to do a lot of things, but it comes down to you and me going out every day of our lives and living the gospel and being those local areas and changing the local world, because that's how we're going to change. You have to change your own life, change your house, change your block, change your city. That's how the whole world's going to change. So, guys, thank you so much for watching. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to do this. I'm not going to ask you to like, subscribe, or share, but, you know, I appreciate it if you do. I hope you enjoyed the show, and I hope that you have a great week. All right, that's it.
That it? All right, brother. Hey, thank you very much, Sam. I appreciate it, brother.
Hey, anything I can do for you, I'd be happy to help.
Well, listen, man, I want these guys to definitely support you, man, for doing this. I mean, you know, if nothing else, it'll help give you some more exposure because yeah. They're all good people, man. They'll spread it around.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they will. Because when I told them to go online and start turning some of these people in that were clickbait, uh-huh. Man, they took off like a shot. I mean, they were turning these people in left and right. And I was just like, dang, man. They started taking them down.
Yeah.
So the nice thing about this is if somebody starts stealing this stuff, they'll see this, and then now you've got about 3,600 people that can go after YouTube and start turning them in to shut that down so it doesn't steal from you.
Yeah, that's awesome.